This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19 and episode number 4,000. And 79, along with Steve the Thrill Hill, D.T. Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, the Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite,
TV Time with Tim.
The clock.
All right, here we go. North Carolina man wins $1 million scratch-off because he wanted a hot dog. Meanwhile, because of drugs, One Lake's fish population is in a hazy, buzz-type fog.
Drugs!
In Georgia, one stolen front loader is stopped by a bigger loader. Grandson tries to burn down Meemaw's car because of the money that he owed her. And 11 masked bandits are on the loose in the Netherlands. Yeah. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, unfortunate things happen to everyone. And depending on how you define luck, maybe you see it coming. All right, so a man from Mercer Island, he spent 5 hours on a life raft in the middle of the ocean after a sailboat sank. Now, he knew he was in trouble when the boat started getting hit with 28-foot-tall waves during a storm. At that point, you just kind of know. In California, two brothers were attacked by a mountain lion, and usually cougars stalk and then launch a surprise attack, but not this one. No, this mountain lion approached them, and in spite of them doing the things you're supposed to do in that situation, make yourself bigger, yell, etc., the cougar charged them anyway. That gave them just enough time to crap themselves. And then there's a guy, well, he found himself in an equally dangerous situation. He was not attacked by a wild animal. He was not on a sinking ship. No, instead, he left his fiance's wedding dress on top of his car and then drove off, losing the dress. We're just assuming that had to be a very fun conversation, and frankly, I'd rather deal with a mountain lion. That's just me. But today, we're not necessarily talking about that bad thing that happened to you, but the moments leading up to that bad thing that happened to you. The moment that you knew the S was about to hit the fan, and there's just nothing you can do about it. So today's question, quite simply, is what was the moment you knew this is not good?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4079. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, I don't know how you do it. You find people doing bad things in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Then you bring us three stories every week. It is up to us to determine, out of these three stories, which one sucks the least. How are we looking this week?
Not the best. Not the best. Although Mike was entertained by one of the stories.
Yeah.
It's mildly entertaining, but it's just at the cost of great humiliation to the people in the story. I think that's a fair way of putting it.
Yes. Oh, what else do we have for you today? Oh, be sure to download and subscribe to the Men's Room page on the Odyssey app. Odyssey app is absolutely free when you get there. Search for the Men's Room and then subscribe to our page. You will get our brand new Happy Hour podcast every Friday morning, along with the daily podcast, the weekly podcast, Greatest Story Never Told, the podcast, Megacast, all in one location, including the Men's Room radio channel. It's all there for you on the Odyssey app. We got a chance to put together our own music station. So if you don't have the Odyssey app, download it now and listen to us anywhere you travel in the country. If you're enjoying the weekend somewhere, you want to catch up on previous episodes, it is all there in one location. And today we're going to talk about that moment where you knew, man, this is not good. This is not a good situation to be in. And we have a guy right here in Mercer Island that went through a crazy experience. He was rescued from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean while sailing from Brazil to South Africa. You got a second life, he said. This is according to Balthasar Weiss. An opportunity at another life, and it does something really interesting to you. He was able to escape a sinking sailboat and fought to survive the rough waters on a life raft for 5 hours. Tremendous thing for you. When you're about to die or you think you're going to die and you know there's somebody out there who cares about you, someone who cares, it's unbelievable. He was emotional, grateful to be back at his home on Mercer Island. A couple days after the trip, he says he'll never forget. It was a little bit of everything. It was a dream trip and a nightmare trip all at the same time. He met two men through a website that connects captains with crew. Their journey was supposed to be 4 weeks of sailing on a 54-foot-long sailboat from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil to Cape Town, South Africa.
Sounds kind of cool.
He said it was a great trip until they encountered Mother Nature halfway through. There were 28-foot-tall waves coming and crashing over you and over the boat. Winds 40 knots plus, so incredibly severe was the conditions of the storm. Now, debris from the ocean damaged their boat, which then started to sink. The three issued an SOS over satellite, and that triggered an international rescue operation. The next morning, as the boat's condition continued to worsen, the three men prepared the life raft. Now, to ensure it detached properly, the captain stayed on the sinking boat to unhitch it so he and the other crewmates could go free.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a big deal. The greatness of humanity, that some people go all the way and then some more to save other people's lives, which is an incredible thing. And I'm going to be grateful for that for the rest of my life, he said. He said he and the other mate were in a 5x5 life raft for about 5 hours until an oil tanker spotted them. He said he couldn't thank the crew of the oil tanker enough and the captain of the vessel, as well as Captain Fry, for his life-saving measures. They are, for me, symbols of the best in humanity. That they are so compassionate and care for others is unbelievable. He said he and his other crewmate stayed on the oil tanker for 4 days until they got to Cape Town before flying back to their respective homes.
So the oil tanker was actually going to where they were planning to go in the first place.
Either that, or they got the SOS, and that was the closest ship in the area.
That might be
sometimes
it.
They divert the route to see if they can find the boat, they can find any survivors, all of that.
Right.
So they got lucky. They were only out there for 5 hours, but the storm was still pretty strong.
Well, it's the thing. Right, you're on a lifeboat, but that same storm that sunk your boat is still happening around you.
And it's one thing to be off the coast of Brazil or off the coast of Africa, where at least, you know, maybe a helicopter can get to you or something quick.
Sure.
They were in the middle of the fattest part of the Atlantic Ocean. So, they were in the middle of frickin' nowhere. There's no islands.
Right, there's nothing.
There is nothing out there. I mean, maybe one little small, you know.
Maybe. I don't think so, man.
And when you get that far south,
I don't know that I've ever been in open water like that.
No. Now, even when I took that cruise, we're in the Mediterranean, and for the most part, I mean, like, you weren't going to swim to land, but on some level, you feel better because you can still see land. So, like, you're like, all right, if the ass hits the fan, to your point, they can get a helicopter out here, boats, whatever
right.
it is
yep.
we need.
Yep.
But yeah.
I mean, maybe whale watching off of Cape Cod, but I feel like you could still see Nantucket, like, in the distance.
Yeah, so how far out do they go for that, though, man? I mean, these guys were, like, truly in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, you go out 2 hours to fish for tuna. They are so far past.
Right.
I mean, they're days out at sea. They are. It's 5 weeks. They're 2.5 out.
Yeah, I mean, you're as far away from land as you're probably ever going to be at that point. And of course, that's when the storm hit.
No boat. No, I mean, the boat's sinking. It's being hit by debris. You can't use your motor. You're absolutely screwed.
And the thing, I don't know if that's good or bad, right? On the one hand, a lot of people say, like, if something bad's going to happen to him, just let it happen without me seeing it coming. You know what I mean? But in this case, like, okay, you got 20-foot waves. You know the storm is bad. And then it starts taking on water, and you recognize you're not going to be able to get all that water out of there. But they even said it was the next morning that the ship finally sank.
Yeah. And you got to remember,
so for hours, you're just thinking, like, this is not good. This is bad.
Yeah. Right. In the southern hemisphere right now, it's still summer.
Right.
So when you're out in that water, when the sun does come up, these are the stories. It's one thing to just have it happen, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
so most people want.
And I know this sounds morbid, but you know, with your animals, when you watch them slowly deteriorate, and you do the best you can, if financially or whatever you can do to extend their lives, but you know the inevitable. You know the road, and you got to watch this happen and try to feed your dog, try to feed your cat, try to get them healthy, you know, give them the medication they need, do all the things that you're supposed to do, but there's no turning back, and you got to watch this happen. Where some dogs just drop.
Yeah, they don't wake up that day.
And you're devastated, but you don't have to watch that process happen.
Yeah.
Now, when you're on a life raft, in the middle of the ocean, you start to see things. You know, you start to get delusional. You might be out there for days. It's this long
You have
process.
No idea. They got lucky 5 hours, man.
You're surrounded by water, but you can't drink it.
Yeah. Right. You can't drink anything.
And if you do, it gets worse. And some people do. Yeah. And then they see a 7-Eleven, which is not a 7-Eleven. They start swimming toward it. The next thing you know, they're gone.
It's one of those shows that I can't believe I survived or something like that. And it's the worst one I've heard, but they were off the coast of the U.S. They were supposed to go from, like, Boston to Miami or something. But anyway, they're far enough away you couldn't see land. The boat goes down for whatever reason. One of the people, of course, gets injured, so she's bleeding. But they get in these life rafts. But this has attracted sharks. So they're out there, I want to say, for, like, 4 or 5 days. All right? And one of the things that happened, I guess you have, like, this survival case that you're supposed to kind of take with you on a lifeboat. And somehow that got lost, and they're watching it float away. This chick who's injured, you know, they can't do anything for her. They can't help her. Now the sharks are pounding the bottom of these boats. Keep in mind, and these are like cheap-ass little life rafts, man. And this goes on for days. And this started, keep in mind, it started with seven people. By the time they got rescued or made it to Florida or whatever the hell happened at the end, I want to say there were two left. So she dies on the boat, and she's bleeding. And again, the sharks keep attacking the boats. They can smell the blood. So they're like, we felt weird, man, but like when she died, we just had to push her overboard. So they push her overboard, and like, and the sharks immediately just rip her apart. They're still floating. They got a couple more days out there. And then it was, do not drink the water. You know, dying of thirst. Everyone's getting sunburned. They're all chapped and all this. Well, two of the guys are like, F it. They started drinking the seawater. Sure enough, they went crazy. So one dude stands up in the boat, swears that he sees land. And they're like, we knew he was delusional. You're trying to talk him out of it. But he insists he can see land. Steps off the boat to swim. The sharks immediately pulled him under. And he said, the guy who's kind of recalling the story, he goes, you know, it sounds bad, but after being out there that long and watching this guy step off the boat and get devoured by sharks, it's like you were kind of desensitized to it.
Right.
You know, just like we had to accept the fact. Then the other guy lost his mind. And I think that's right here, the 7-Eleven thing, where it's like he swears he sees the 7-Eleven or he's going to get a Slurpee or something. And they're like, dude, don't get in the water. He got in the water. They said he screamed for like 1 second. Sharks ripped him apart. Somebody else died from exposure. So again, starts with seven people. By the time they arrest you, there's two people left. And when you die, they'll throw your ass overboard. And like the sharks were constantly coming. And it was one of those inflatable kind of things. They're worried that they're going to pop, you know, the inflatable. Uh-huh. We're going to sink. We're going to die. But the sharks were so close. They said you could feel them under the raft.
Right.
And I'm like, dude. So, but I could not stop watching this. But I'm like, this is the worst freaking story I've ever heard in my life, man.
Yeah. I am I'm terrified of heights. That's one thing. It's a fact.
Yeah.
If you are on the water, typically, not much to worry about.
Well, you're at sea level.
Yeah. I've told this story before, but we went...
you're right.
Yeah.
You are at sea level.
I was 12, 13 years old, and we go for a Boy Scout trip in French-speaking Quebec. And it was about a 12 to 13-day excursion. We did close to 90 miles.
Okay.
We basically just did a complete circle. But... at one point, and I'll never forget this, there were a couple dads were with us. The guy that I had in the canoe was a gentleman named Bill Bragg. Now, Bill Bragg, he was not the most helpful. He was also not the best canoeist, and he was in the back of the boat because he insisted that he was going to be the captain of the ship, you know, like that kind of thing.
Is he an adult or your buddy?
He's an adult. He's one of the he's one of the fathers of a kid that was in Scouts who was a few years younger than me.
All right.
But he was... In his mind, he knew a lot.
A lot of people like that.
But he did not know. He was not very skillful, to say the least. So at any rate, he's not a very strong paddler. He is in the back. When you're in the back of a canoe, typically, you are the guy that is steering the boat, that's controlling the boat.
Yeah.
The muscles up front, that's where I was. I'm just paddling.
Oh, the muscles you did there.
Well, yeah, he's a humble little brag.
Yeah. Well, no, but he's not. He's not capable of that. Like, he's not capable of doing any one of these two things. It's just the fact that I'm 13 years old with endless energy, and I've been paddling for 4 or 5 days, so I've got this thing cranked out, man. I'm just putting my head down and digging. Now, the guy in the front of the canoe also should have the map.
Yes.
But he would not let me have the map. All right? So he's this guy. You know, I got the map. I'm in control. Like, all right, Bill, you got it, man. We start going down this. We get out of this off this huge lake, Kibawa, and now we're in what looks to be a river. It's going down to another body of water.
All right.
And then the rapids start to pick up. And I'm going to say, from years of canoeing and doing some rafting, some of these chutes that we were hitting were at least number twos, almost number threes. They were pretty substantial.
Were you still comfortable at this point?
I was digging in up through the waves, trying to keep the nose of the canoe up because we had a pack in the middle. We had a lot of
weight. Oh, right,
we're riding low because of all the camping gears in the middle of it. So I'm just trying to bust through stuff, keep it up. I'm looking to my right, my left, and there are all these portage points where you would pull over and you could see the trails, and they were very wide on the side of the banks where people had gotten out and taken their canoes and walked them through the woods. And I'm like, Bill, check this map. We only had one map among 20 guys that were out there. We're the lead canoe. We have the map. And we start really picking up speed. And I'm like, Bill, check this map. And it's in a Ziploc, you know, like a quart-sized Ziploc bag. Yeah. Now, a portage point is denoted by a little line that goes across the water, which means this area is impassable.
Right.
It was in the seam of the map. So when he was flipping the map back and forth and over between the two places, he couldn't see the line. And, I mean, and now we're flying the... the guys behind us are pulling over.
Right, they're getting off.
There are a few, but the ones that are directly behind us, they're smoking it like we are. And now we're picking up steam to the point where the current is just kind of carrying us, and Bill cannot keep the canoe out of just the general current of the river. So it's swaying to the left. It's coming back to the middle. We're doing all those things. We're avoiding rocks. And then we really shoot down this thing, and, man, the heat is on. And I'm like, oh, no. And I hear, and I look, and there's a ledge. And then below that is a lake. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Let's do the math here.
Oh, my God.
Waterfall.
So we're
right?
we're not good. We're flying at this thing, man. And I'm like, this is going to end real poorly.
Right.
So
did you think you're going to die?
I did not know how big this waterfall was, but it was pretty substantial. So we're in like these old, like, you know, big ass grooming canoes, the metal kind and all that. Fortunately for us, the first drop was only about 9 to 10 feet.
Oh, is that all?
It was not bad. Well, actually, the length of a canoe is like 20. I mean, those things are big. So, like, once they tip down, it's not as bad as you think because they're big.
Right.
But when the bottom went down, of course, I submarine down from front. I've got my paddle behind me like I'm, you know, like
right, holding
riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
This thing goes straight down, man. The front is the front of a canoe is the whole front and the back. They have a huge thing of like styrofoam in there to
right.
For like, you know, buoyance. We basically kangaroo in this thing, man. The front shoots out and then we go down the next waterfall.
Jesus Christ. Because
it's a cascading step waterfall. So I get down to that one. Now, we're still upright, which is freaking amazing. We're still, you know, the boat's still up. And I look up, and all you see is the top of another canoe coming above right above.
Oh, because they're following you, right?
They're right behind us, man. And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know how that thing didn't destroy me. Then when that canoe landed on our canoe, it toppled ours. Then we rolled down to the third waterfall, went over that as individuals and as gear with a boat coming over top of us. I mean, I stood up and I was like, and you know, I'm 12 years old, I'm 13 years old. I'm trying to have respect for Bill. But at the same time, I want to kill him.
Yeah.
I want to kill him. Like, I had my paddle in my hand, like, God damn it, Bill Bragg.
I'm guessing you didn't die.
I know. But I mean, I was like, I knew immediately when I heard, and I'm like, that's a waterfall.
Right.
Like this is like Land of the Lost. I mean, I'm going to have this damn thing in a canoe. What was the moment that you knew this is not good? 206-803-RUH.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, what was the moment that you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
One quick text here says, Ola, bitches, I knew something was going really bad when I was 16, and my mom's friend picked me up from the movie theater. She asked me if I wanted to drive. Well, I had never driven a car before, so I knew it was a bad idea. She had an 88 Cadillac Coupe DeVille. Turn radius was awful. There was traffic. I found out years later that she wanted me to drive because she was flying high on cocaine.
I'll tell you what, though. That was a great car back in the day.
I love that Bill? Car.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Oh, my God. That Cadillac. God, that was... Yeah. It was a Mac Daddy.
I think my grandfather had one for a couple of years, man. And yeah. I'm always like, oh, dude.
Man, that's a coach. Yeah, my mom had a sedan DeVille.
$2.
The Coupe DeVille. Right. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Right?
All
the sedan was like...
All right. The sedan four, yeah.
The sedan DeVille was like... Put it to you bluntly, it's a hood classic.
Yes.
Right? It's got that big body back, right? It was like mid-90s. I mean, I love driving that car. She had gotten it.
How much cred did you get? You drove it with the windows down.
Smoked hubcaps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she had gotten it, like, she bought it off, like, her old boss or whatever. But, I mean, that was one of those cars. Like, people are always like, how much? I'm like, I'm not selling it.
You're right. But well, in a gas station, in a convenience, hey, man, how much you want for the car? I'm like, yeah. It's not for sale.
Yeah, but those things are great. I mean, Cadillac, standard of American luxury.
What was the moment that you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nelly. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hola.
Doing good, Nelly. Thank you.
All right. So it was, I was 16. It was about 5 years ago. And I was working at a pizza place. At the end, it was my friend's birthday, so he went out. We were a bunch of stoners, so he went out and picked up a bunch of stuff. And we went to this elementary school that's in our neighborhood that we usually go to, you know, do our stuff. Usually we hide, but this time we did it in the front, and we didn't think we'd get caught or anything.
Why did you think you would not get caught standing in front of the elementary school?
I don't know. We were not smart kids. We made not very good decisions. usually we were smarter than that, and we knew where to go because it was a fairly big elementary school. But anyways, about like halfway through what we were doing, we look up and there's a cop, of course. And I remember we, like, my friend and I looked like we were going to go up to the cop. And then my friend started running, so I ran with him. And then it was a whole episode of me, like, I almost went out the corner and got caught. And then I ran back into the school. And luckily, my friend shared a backyard. So he waited for this cop not to see us anymore. And we climbed into the backyard. And, yeah, that was that. But it was... It was good for so long. Like I never got caught here before, so it was a shock to me.
Yeah, it's never good when the cops are on you.
Generally,
whatever the situation is, I don't care if they're just pulling you over on the side of the road.
That's one thing I did appreciate about being a teenager, though, is that you know, if a cop pulls you over, then you're going to pull over or you're going to get in a high speed chase. Those are basically your options, right? So you're going to pull over and give you a ticket. When you're 16 and cops show up and you know whatever, you know why they're there. You know you're up to no good. It's guaranteed that you run. But
yeah.
As a teen, I cannot think of a time where I actually had to be confronted by a cop. Like, they would show up, you took off running. Yes, I hear you telling us to stop. There was no chance. None at all. I mean, even if my kids said, Dad, what should I be like, run.
There's two things
that happen. When you're on foot, you'll take, if you're in a car, pull your ass over. If you're on foot, it's like, you take off running.
Right, but I'm with you. As a teenager, like, we ran from parties all the time. That was just what you did. If they showed up, you ran.
Yeah.
There's an age difference, because I remember being 11 or 12, and, like, I don't know, you're playing football in the street or something, and goes to some old lady's yard, and she calls the cop. That cop shows up, you stand there and go, well, what's up, officer?
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right. Somehow, when you're a teenager and you're doing something you're not supposed to do, cop shows up, it's like, well, we might as well just run.
Yeah. You haul ass. I'm telling you, even as an adult, not that I'm running from cops, frankly, because my knees hurt, but just too old to do it, man.
Damn it.
But I remember walking into a pool hall, and I can see a badge, I can see the gun, and this guy's dressed to the nines, and he's playing pool with two other guys with badges with guns. He looks at me and says, are you Steve Hill? I said, no, and I turned around to walk away. Then he gets in front of me. He's like, hey, man, I know who you are. I'm a fan of the show. I'm like, oh. He's like... You know, I work for the FBI. I'm like, I didn't. I saw your badge. That's why I lied. He goes, you would lie to a federal officer. I'm like, I just did.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. I would. I said, man, I did not know you. I did not know what you wanted with me. So when you said my name outright, and you weren't smiling or anything, and just, you know, very authoritarian voice, are you Steve Hill? Like, nope.
Rule number one, don't implicate yourself. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's why I turned around. I was going, going to leave.
And, like, they're FBI. Like, I have a buddy that works for the State Department, but the first time I met him was at baggage claim. At the airport.
All right.
And same thing. You guys have met him. Like, he was in the Marine. Like, he's a serious looking dude. And he's just like, Ted Smith. Is like, yeah. And he's like, fan of the show. I'm like, all right, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Right? And then we kind of BS'd a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I saw you on the plane. I'm like, all right. But you're right. I mean, it sends a chill down your spine. Like, how did, like, you? I can tell you're some type of officer. Like, how do you know my name?
Yeah.
Cops freak me out. So I got a buddy. He's a was a state trooper. I think he still is a state trooper.
All right.
He might have gone into politics. I don't know. But anyway, so I used to give him concert tickets, and if he happened to find any marijuana around, he would bring me said marijuana, and then would exchange him the concert tickets.
Nothing illegal about that at all.
All right. This goes on a couple of times. Now, one thing you need to know is that the radio station I worked at was on the third floor of a building. In the very back where the parking lot was, not on the main street, but in the back, there was a service door that was always cracked open so we could go out and smoke.
Right.
But the way we had it propped was it didn't have a handle on it.
Okay.
So it was exit only. But I would always leave a stick, or we had a rock down there. There's a smoker's can, all these things. Want to go outside and get a cigarette? That's where you go. So that's how he used to come in. Well, I had no idea he was coming in this evening. And I'm working, and I'm smoking. We had a bong underneath the console in the FM studio.
Right.
And me and the afternoon guy would smoke up before I went on the air. And then I would smoke all through the night. And then Matt would come in and, on the overnight, and he would smoke, and he would bring weed. So basically, the entire studio smelled like weed. You just couldn't smoke cigarettes in there.
Right. You could hit the bong.
Right. But this is like a Friday night or whatever it was. And I have one pair left of Guns N' Roses, Metallica,
Faith No More.
And Faith No More tickets for their show at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh. So it's the last opportunity to win. I have it coming up at 9 o'clock.
Hey, that'd be a good show today.
Absolutely, that'd be a good
show. Rick hears this on the radio in his squad car. Now, he has not contacted me yet. He might have tried to call the request line. I don't know. But he is on patrol with a buddy. So what he did was, he said, like, look, he told his buddy, he's like, look, you're going to go in first. And you're going to go freeze. Like, before you could even walk in, he's going to come around the corner. Like, I need you to put your hands in the air and get on the ground. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he comes in, and he's drawn. And he's like, I'm like, what? Hands in the air, on the ground? He's like, both. And I'm like, both? So I put my hands up, and then I hear Rick, like, laughing in the hallway. And he walks in, hey, man, how you doing? I mean, I swear to God, that is the first time I've almost used the bathroom in my pants and not been able to control it. I mean, seriously, I almost used the bathroom in my pants. I was freaked the hell out because these dudes are big. State troopers are big.
Yeah.
Rick was like 6 foot. He's a big dude. He used to play football. And the other guy was equally as big. I freaked the hell out. So he walked in. He's like, man, we're just here for the last pair of tickets. I'm like, Jesus God, Rick. I got him. You know, I'll go in the filing cabinet.
Your hand shaking when you give them to him?
So I was shook and I was stoned. So it was even worse than that. I'm freaking the hell out. You should have seen the bag that they got off of 79. I don't know what car they pulled over, man. He just throws this. It was more weed than I had ever seen in one bag that I'd ever possessed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was easily an ounce of weed. But I had never seen, I couldn't buy that much weed then. I didn't have that much money.
Right.
I'd never seen, and I was like, oh my God, thank you. So I had
thank you, officer.
It seemed like I had the weed for like maybe a week. Everybody was smoking it.
And I think I've done it to thrill of pain in the grass. My buddy's a King County sheriff. He's a big man. So like everybody knows him now when I bring him backstage. Really, the first couple of years, I was like, just go over to thrill. Just march over to him.
Smell something.
Right, like just badge on and everything. But I had a friend of a friend that was a state trooper in Maryland. I used to ask him, I didn't even smoke weed back then, really, about weed. He's like, look, if I show up and you're at a house party and you have it, he's like, I'd be like, turn the music down, smoke more of that. I don't want to have to come back.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
What was the moment that you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Roger. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. How are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
Doing great, Roger. Thank you.
Yeah, my story is pretty crazy. Years ago, maybe 20, 22 or so, we were going over to the Apple Blossom Festival in Wenatchee, just a huge party for days. Nothing but just a drunk fest. Anyway, me and my buddy are driving back to Spokane on this old windy road. We kind of got lost. He thought he knew a shortcut. But anyway, we're driving, and he's nodding off. And I'm like, come on, man, just pull over. I'll take over. You know, we're going to get in a wreck. And so he pulls over. I take over. Not even 10 minutes later, you know, and I was feeling just great, alert. Not even 10 minutes later, now I'm nodding off. He's already out. I'm telling myself, next opportunity I can pull off to the right, left, anywhere, I'm doing it. Next thing you know, I woke up and we're flying through the air like the Duke boys.
Oh, no.
It was a 71 Mustang Mach 1. I went off the right side, which kind of kept going up a hill, thank God, not the left side, which went down like 200 feet. When I wake up, I land, you know, crash into the side of this hill. Finally come to a stop alongside the road, and I realize the roof is buckled, can't open the doors. This car is just in bad shape. Get out, and the right front tire, the left rear tire are gone.
Dang.
The wheel's still there, but gone. Ripped the oil pan off the engine and packed it full of dirt. My buddy finally wakes up. He's like, what happened? I said, hey, man, I think a squirrel ran out in front of us and just trying to lighten the mood, but it was bad.
Yeah, that was a really nice car.
Yeah, we were lucky to walk away from that.
What's that car worth now?
Probably 40 grand at least.
Yeah, it was what, like four grand new, 5 grand new?
Probably, yeah.
Damn, okay. Well, at least you're in a well-constructed car.
That is true, man.
You know?
God, that's terrifying.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola!
Well, my story is, I was driving semi, long haul, And I was in Montana going east. And, you know, the speed limits in Montana are open.
Yeah.
So I was coming up on this slow driver. I think he was going about 65, 70. So I go to pass him.
Once again, Men's Room Colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
Okay, Mike, so you said, oh, poop.
Oh, crap, yes. Because there's a long curve coming up. And I went to the outside. I had a little lumber. I went to the outside, back to the right lane, tried to make this curve. I cut the corner, you know, I was going back in the passing lane to make it as short as possible. Well, I was still going too fast. So I look in my mirror as I'm going around this curve still, and I see the wheels coming up off the trailer.
Oh,
they're coming up off the ground.
Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
He's not going to stop.
Yeah. Nah, I just had to drop.
Yeah. Mother and please keep those words in mind.
For the record, Montana has speed limits now.
Yes, they do. Good Lord. I understand OS. How many times? I guess that's his go-to phrase.
Yeah.
OS.
But I believe him. That's what he said.
I believe it. And that's the right thing to say. You just can't say it here, man.
Right. And I know Mike tells people before they get on the air. You just told him, hey, don't say that.
Like, don't say it, man. Just say, oh, poop. And wait, look, I would assume that most of the stories we hear today, OS, is a thought that went through your mind. Right. If you know something bad's going to happen. We know. Internet don't include that part. We know.
Correct.
Yeah, that's all. You know, a tiger jumped over the fence at the zoo. We know what you're thinking. We don't need to hear that. We know.
Yeah.
OS.
Hey, Miles was telling the story about being a kid in the Boy Scouts in the canoe. When that other canoe's coming down that waterfall over his head, he thought OS.
Right.
He when probably even said it.
Well, when I want to jump
you knew the waterfall
at the end of it
was in front of you, you probably said OS.
Right, but we don't say it here.
That's all.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hola.
So, this is back in the 70s. I'm driving a K5 Blazer, early K5 Chevy with my buddy of mine. We went cruising a couple of girls, went out to this lookout, and partying it up, smoking it up, drinking it up. Decided to go four-wheeling. Well, and it was nighttime, and I ended up driving off like a little drop-off area in my front axle, and front wheels were hanging off the side of the hill, and I was boxed out underneath the drivetrain. So we called another buddy of mine up and had him come up with his truck, and I was hammered, and I said, okay, buckle me in, I'm going down. What they did was they backed or pushed my truck off the side of the hill with me in it, and I make it down the hill fine, but find out I can't get out anywhere because it was a relatively new development, and all it was backyard fences. So I decide, rather than get caught by the cops, I floored it and blew through about six backyard fences and tore up everybody's backyard and basically destroyed the paint job on my truck.
And you never got caught.
And I never got caught, except till I got home and my dad woke me up in the morning. So what the hell did you do?
I drove through a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, drove through a neighborhood.
You're not lying. I was driving in a residential area.
How easy is it to blow through a fence? I guess if it's a wooden fence, you just blast right through it?
I would think you'd just smash through it, man. And like you said, he gunned it.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Garrett. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, bitches.
Hola.
So I was, you know, I was 20 years old at one point, and every 20-year-old gets a fake ID. Because the majority of my friends are already, you know, 21 and going to the bars and whatever. So we're going to this one bar, local bar here, and we've been going for all summer now, and I ended up meeting this girl who was a bartender there, and was talking to her for a while, and my birthday came around, and so she thought I was 21 too. And we get to the point where it's my 21st, my real 21st birthday is coming around, and I decided to have it down at that bar, where I've already been going for probably half a year now. And one of my buddies, you know, we've been drinking all night, and he goes to leave, and, hey, man, happy 21st. Hope you have a great one. And then right next to me, though, is the bartender who says, basically, OS, let me see your ID. And, yeah, so kind of figured out that I had a fake ID that whole time.
Now, let me ask you this. When you, because I did the same thing. I didn't have a fake ID. I just didn't get carded at this particular bar. I've been going there for a year and a half. Went there on my 21st birthday. And I always remember the bar owner. It's like, oh, happy birthday, man. How old are you turning? I'm like, 21. And just the look on his face, like, are you kidding me? But I'm like, look, you're worried about that. But, hey, you're also doing tons of blow in your office upstairs. Let's not worry about it. But with your fake ID, did the girl that you met, the bartender, did she call you by the name that was on the ID?
No, she called me by my real name. Man, the fake ID wasn't even my fake ID. It was my buddy's, who had already turned 21 and gave me his ID.
Ah, okay.
Ah,
so it wasn't even my name or picture. I don't know how it got by her. I guess she wasn't very smart.
Well, did you continue to date her after this or not really?
For a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe it's not a deal breaker, I would think.
Yeah, when I had fake IDs, I had some terrible ones, but the one that worked was always a guy that looked enough like me that was older.
Yeah, that's the one.
And I got his extra one. And I tell everybody, I've told the story 1,000 times. It worked all the time until December 23rd, like 12 out. Like, I mean, it was literally 8 hours before I turned 21. And the guy's like, that's not you. And I was like, here's my real one. It's like in 6 or 8 hours. I'm with my brother. And he's like, nah, sorry, man.
Damn.
That was the only time that ID ever got denied.
Well, I don't think it's one thing to have one in your possession.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the bouncer will just take it.
Sure.
But as far as law enforcement, yes, you can get into trouble. But Joel and myself, we were manufacturing these things.
Right.
We were making them. I'm sure that's a much stiffer penalty.
New Jersey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pennsylvania.
All right.
Pennsylvania.
Remember, I had one from Delaware. It was Salinon Alto Tapio.
That was your name?
Sal Tapio.
Sal Tapio,
man. Apartment D.
King of Jersey.
I had it remembered. That ID.
Which island you live in?
Sucked. I can't remember that. I just remember, it's just amazing when you look at
Sal Tapio.
Salinon Alto Tapio. And just like Sal Tapio.
We need to Google this guy.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, right, the same thing. I had a buddy in high school that was making IDs.
Yeah.
But God, that thing was awful.
What was the moment that you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.